Now, back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Boy, that's tough talk. Rip the mouse off. I love it. By the way, welcome in or welcome back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. Our number is 1-888-463-6748. Back to our conversation about health care with Dr. Paul Howard of the Nonpartisan Manhattan Institute. Over-treatment and under-treatment. You pay for both in health care, don't you?
You do. You wind up paying for one of them in terms of health care inflation. The premium's going up. You're going to see coming out of your paycheck one way or another, or out of your pocket. And then you're also going to pay in terms of, you know, when people get sick and have heart attacks, there's a human cost, and then that's going to add to the stress on the system.
Quality of life. Does that factor in anywhere along the line, probably post 65, because people are living longer, as you pointed out, and then they have these very, very expensive but more successful surgical techniques to save a life. But with the concept of quality of life, which I'm not sure you can put a price tag on, is there an issue there?
There is, and it's and the picture is blurring. Let me kind of suggest another kind of out of the wall idea here, or out of the box idea. One is that the line between the medically necessary, you know, what you need to stay alive, and the line between things that are optional that improve quality of life is blurring. And what do I mean? In terms of getting, let's say, a hip transplant, let's say you're a person in your 70s and you need a hip transplant, mm-hmm. Medicare will cover one of the standard, less expensive models, but there are other more expensive models that apparently some people think are better. People are paying out of pocket for those. And let's also point out one of the bright things about all this investment in healthcare is seniors today are healthier, more active than they've been ever in history, and it's because we are keeping them healthier, keeping people healthier in their 40s and 50s, and being able to treat them more successfully as they age. And so, we can look forward to playing golf well into our 70s and into our retirement years, and perhaps longer, and all of that is getting better. But at the same time, the line's going to blur. It's going to be, well, should I pay for someone not just to or contribute to a fund for the elderly, not just to stay alive, but to, you know, stay active? Some of that you might say is a smart investment, but the rest of it you might say, well, maybe the person should be paying out of pocket for some of those costs.
Paul, what I hear is the real issue and what we've been talking about so far is not that we spend too much on health care, but that we get so little for it.
Well, it's both. I mean, you already pointed out, and it's absolutely true, that the United States spends more on health care than any other developed nation. And part of this is because we've got a fragmented system. Individuals are not really in charge of their own health care spending. They might choose to take a different mix. If you or I had a choice, how much of our health care would we choose to take home as pay? How much would we choose to instead allot to an insurance policy, an HMO or an HSA, whatever you wanted? That would probably discipline the market somewhat. Then again, the United States is also wealthier than other countries, so we're going to spend more as a matter of course. And then there are some things it's very hard to measure. The Japanese, for instance, have much lower levels of obesity and heart disease than the U.S. does, and that's not so much the result of their healthcare system, but of their diet. There are some things it's going to be very difficult to control because we can't micromanage people's diets. We can only give them incentives to stay healthy, and then the question is, you know, how do we go about doing that?
Doesn't it appear to be rather asininic that on one hand, American business is quick to use the word benchmark? We want a benchmark. The very, very best concepts, the Six Sigmas, the Leans, all of the processes which increase productivity and reduce cost. Yet when it comes to healthcare, we're not even close to benchmarking the best in the industrialized Western world. Where are the countries that we could benchmark from?
Well, it depends on where you look. I mean, there are some things the U.S. is the benchmark for cancer care, for instance. There's some variation, but I think all the sources generally agree the U.S. does a better job in treating cancer than anywhere else in the world. Lancet recently had an article that showed, I believe, that the U.S. was, for women, all cancers, I think about 5 or 6 points ahead of the leading European average, and then 10 points for men had for male cancers. So the U.S. is leading the world and setting the benchmarks there in terms of medical innovation. But
I'm talking about costs.
Oh, absolutely. Well, costs is a harder question. What the Europeans are doing...
Well, let me flip it around. In your opinion, because you're a guy that spends a lot of time researching and watching what happens and observing, who's doing this right?
Okay. there are some places where it's doing very well. There are companies like Whole Foods that have asked their employers, asked their employees, allowed them to vote and said, what kind of health care plan would you like to have? They actually voted to adopt an HSA-style plan where Whole Foods would pay into an account for them to get a catastrophic insurance policy and then pay out of pocket for some routine health care expenses. So now employees are now saying to themselves, well, how much does this cost? Where can I get the best value for my money when I go to the doctor? Other companies like Pitney Bowes made the decision, said, look, we're spending an awful lot of money on our employees. A lot of them have diabetes. A lot of them have asthma. And we're charging them more for their drugs. We're raising copays. Why are we doing that? That discourages them from using medicines. Let's actually lower copays for many drugs so that people will use their medicines correctly, use them more often, and stay healthy longer. That will reduce our payments. So I think who's really doing a great job are companies who are thinking outside the box and thinking, this isn't a cost to us, this is a benefit. It's fewer sick days, it's lower total cost, healthier, happier employees who are going to stay with us longer. It's letting individuals make smarter decisions. And we talked a little while ago about competition in terms of these convenient care clinics. The largest physician association in California over the summer started publishing prices for many routine health care services. So now they're competing directly with the convenient care clinics of the world, the Minute Clinics and Ready Clinics, and we're seeing some price competition slowly eke out. So what we can do, what the government can certainly do is push for transparency in pricing, establish benchmarks, establish quality benchmarks. Say, how often, if you're a diabetic, should your doctor be testing your blood sugar? How often should you be seeing them, you know, to get your cholesterol tested? Set those benchmarks out there, make them public, and then we'll see more competition as people begin to ask more questions and become smarter shoppers.
The Dave Baum Show with Dr. Paul Howard. We're talking about healthcare. To the phones we go. And Jim, you're on the Baum Show. Thank you.
Hi, I had a question about health savings accounts. You mentioned them a minute ago when you were talking about Whole Foods. And my family and I have one, and we really like it, but I'm just wondering why they don't seem to be very popular.
Well, I think it's almost a chicken and the egg quality here. For one thing, for people with very high chronic disease costs, and they're going to have a very large out-of-pocket cost, the HSAs may not be attracted to them, because what's going to happen is they're going to spend right through their cap and go right into their catastrophic insurance right away. That may not be a very attractive option for those people. The other issue is price transparency. So yeah. HSAs encourage you to be a good shopper, but if you don't know ahead of time how much a hospital might charge, how much a doctor might charge, that discourages you from going into the HSA product. At least if you take an HMO, all the prices are decided ahead of time. They may not be clear to you. They may be very expensive, but at least it provides some kind of security there. So I think there's a big comfort issue here. And until more consumers become comfortable with the prices and see them and know how to shop for them, I think HSAs, they're going to obviously spread. They're going to become more popular. But I think the takeoff is going to be slower, perhaps, than we might want.
Jim, just a question for me. What confounds you most about our lack of uniformity or our lack of standards when it comes to health care?
Well, it just from someone who has an HSA, it's just he's absolutely right in that it's almost impossible to shop around in a lot of cases. We do shop around, and in some cases have found there are huge differences in what doctors charge or hospitals charge, but in a lot of cases they can't even give you an answer of what something costs.
Thanks very much for your call. We appreciate it. On the Dave Baum Show, 1-888-463-6748 is our toll-free number as we continue our conversation with Paul Howard of the Manhattan Institute. We're talking about health care. You had mentioned a couple of examples, Whole Foods and Pitney Bowes. Internationally, country-wise, who could we value benchmarking from?
One of my colleagues, Regina Hertzinger, one of her examples she likes to talk about is Switzerland.
Switzerland, all
Switzerland.
Right. Okay.
So Switzerland spends less than we do on healthcare. We spend about 16% of our GDP on healthcare. I think they spend about 12% of their GDP on healthcare. So they spend less than we do. They have universal insurance. What they do is most healthcare costs, buying insurance, I think about 60%, 65%, are paid for out of pocket. So what the Swiss do is they mandate that everyone buy health insurance. The government sets standards for what those healthcare packages are going to consist of, and then insurers will compete to get individual businesses. So they subsidize the poorest, sickest citizens to buy. Everybody else spends out of pocket, and there's a competitive market for health insurance options. Now, there are still it's still a very heavily regulated market. We could talk about which direction that I might want to move that market in. But here we've got universal coverage, relative to the United States, less healthcare costs, still apparently some pretty good healthcare innovation. That may be a system that we want to look at in terms of it's market-oriented, provides some choice, and also provides universal coverage.
But I wonder if an important criterion is, and you mentioned Switzerland. I don't know why, but the first thing that popped into my mind when you talk about Switzerland is not a heck of a lot of poor people.
Right.
Not a heck of a lot of illegals or legal immigrants who have come to this country over the last 3.5 decades who are benefiting by health care. Does that make a difference?
Oh, it absolutely does. And you've hit the nail on the head. And that is, as much as we'd like to look around and see, well, gee, who's doing it better than we are, it's really an apples to oranges problem. I mean, France or Switzerland or any of these European countries are really much more homogenous, both in terms of their ethnic mix and in terms of their income diversity. As you pointed out, we've got 11, 12 million poor illegal immigrants who move to the U.S. to get a better life. That complicates the question quite a bit. I mean, the U.S.'s border with Mexico, is an important problem. It's an immigration problem. So that's a sidebar that you have to address.
So you can't talk about health care without talking about legal or illegal immigration.
Yeah, it's going to come into the as soon as you try and decide that. But let me also say that here's an interesting issue is how far are the parties during the next year going to go towards, coming up with a healthcare solution? They're going to be beating each other up for the next, 8, 12 months because they want to accentuate the differences and give voters clear choices. Governors at the state level don't have that option. They're seeing their healthcare budgets, particularly from their Medicaid costs, go up very rapidly. They need to contain costs. They just can't pass the buck on the budget. And in places like Massachusetts, particularly under Governor Romney, and then California, South Carolina, Florida. All of these states are trying to find ways to increase access, lower costs, improve coverage in ways that are going to, I think, point the way forward because there are going to be tough compromises at the state level that right now the feds aren't willing to make.
Any states taking the lead besides California, as you mentioned a few minutes ago? You mentioned Massachusetts under Romney. He's getting hammered by some of his opponents and others in this current campaign for providing that in Massachusetts, since much of his ideology on the campaign trail is anathema to what he provided in Massachusetts. But is there anybody else that you think, as part of a nonpartisan institute, seems to be on the cusp of a good idea?
Well, Massachusetts, with its connector service, so here people can buy, if they don't get health insurance through their employers, can buy health insurance through this connector service with pre-tax dollars. So they're getting the same benefit they would if they got it through their employee, through their employer, pardon me. So that's an innovative service. Create a market. That's a very innovative way of doing things. It's a subsidized market so the poor can still buy into it. So in a way, we're still talking about this kind of Swiss model. That's being very effective. In Florida, the standard, the one experiment that's going on there with the Medicaid population is to give, in some counties in Miami and Broward County, give Medicaid recipients a package of money, a voucher basically, to choose amongst various health insurance options and then give them bonuses for staying healthy, taking their tests regularly to control their diabetes, to control their heart disease, and will hopefully both inject more choice and better health outcomes into the system. Lots of small good experiments like that happening in Colorado, Florida. Of course, there's a big health discussion going on in California. That will be a bellwether state to see if legislators there can have some compromise.
How about socialized medicine like Canada?
Well,
no, I've heard that for years, so have you,
right,
and it's
right.
been kind of not in the U.S. of A. I mean, we can't do something like that where you have to wait around forever to see a primary care doctor, but the people who have means seem to always find out where they can get to see a doctor in 15 minutes. So it's not equal, but it's there.
No, absolutely. And I think, not just you and me, but everybody needs to just, I think, have a rational discussion about what we're really talking about here. So you can have more security. I mean, the Canadian model promises more security, and I think a lot of Canadians like that model. But at the same time, you know, there's this joke going around. People go north, you know, from America to Canada to buy drugs, and they come south to get surgeries and other diagnostic treatments, and it's absolutely true. There is no free lunch. And the Canadian challenge that they're facing there is very long waiting times for health care, and there is still an income, as you pointed out. People with money are still jumping the queue, heading to America, getting service at private clinics in Canada, often of questionable legal status. So there are real problems there, and I think there's a real tendency to always think the grass is greener on the other side of the border. But as you pointed out, very different populations, very different markets, very different problems. One solution that may work for the Canadians and be very popular there, and honestly, I think it's less popular there than it was a few years ago because of some of the emerging problems there.
Dr. Paul Howard, our guest on the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com, 1-888-463-6748. It's a toll-free number. Give us a call. We'll return to our conversation as we explore alternatives. We had a couple of good ones so far. Maybe in your neck of the woods, maybe you haven't noticed that new clinic that popped up inside of a drugstore where you can get colds checked out and maybe a sore throat, at least the beginning, and not have to wait in line forever, 4 to 6 weeks for an appointment with your primary care doctor, or a long line in the emergency room. Might want to think of that.